Hello, and welcome to the IWJ Talk podcast series. In this series, we will bring you international perspectives on the clinical, research, geographical, and stakeholder perspectives in wound care, and introduce you to wound care experts from around the world. The information provided is appropriate for the whole wound care team, so make our podcasts part of your regular routine and share them with colleagues. Spread the word. I'm your host, Douglas Queen, the editor of the International Wound Journal. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on today's podcast, where we'll be hearing from Professor Steve Davis, who is a research professor within the Department of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery at the University of Miami in Florida in the United States. Steve is a very familiar face in wound care and has been so for nearly 40 years. He worked with wound care legends Bill Eagelstein and Patricia Mertz. He is also a highly respected researcher, having significantly impacted wound care both in the US and globally. Stay tuned as we hear from Steve about his research experience in wound care. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Douglas. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let me start our conversation by asking you a few questions. What inspired you to get into the field of wound care?
Well, Douglas, as you mentioned, it was actually back in 1984 when I started working with Bill Eagelstein and Pat Mertz at the University of Pittsburgh, where I'm originally from. And they were the ones that developed one of the first porcine models to evaluate a variety of different therapies for wound healing and wound infections. Some of the earlier studies that they did, they showed basically, occlusive dressings like polyurethane films and topical steroids, occlusive dressings could stimulate healing, but in the same model, they saw that topical steroids would impede the healing process. So I found that very fascinating. And in 1986, Dr. Eagelstein moved to Miami, and I've been at the university down there for about 38 years now. So it's kind of exciting to see the use of these porcine models and being able to study the effects of dose response of treatments. We can look at head-to-head comparisons, and that's pretty exciting. So in addition to being inspired by Bill and Pat, I was able to work with Pat's former mentor, David Taplin, who actually had a research station down in the San Blas Islands in Panama. And he took many of the faculty down there to study scabies and impetigo. And it was great seeing many of these treatments, such as topical impetigo, being used in these underserved areas. So that's kind of my inspiration and excitement about the wound care field.
Excellent, thank you. Can you provide a short update on the research that you're currently involved in?
Sure. So as I mentioned, for the past 40 years, I do a lot of work with industry and a lot of NIH, DOD, and DARPA-funded type of research. Many of these are funded through the SBIR STTR program. So a lot of these smaller companies actually seek funding and they need an academic collaborator. So I'm able to come in as a collaborator and do many of these studies. And since I do sign a lot of confidentiality agreements with the industry studies, I'm not able to talk about very many of them, but I can talk about some of the NIH and DOD funded work that I'm currently working on. And one of the more recent studies that we were able to obtain through DOD involves a topical nitric oxide formulation. It's actually a dressing that we're evaluating in our porcine wound healing models. We're also working with another DOD grant company has developed a copper loaded dressing to study burn and acute wounds. And we're also working with some companies on acellular biological grafts that contain various antimicrobials. So those are some of the ones that we're currently working on right now. So it's kind of exciting, a whole variety.
Excellent. Sounds great. What do you enjoy most about your research?
Well, I find it's not a boring research laboratory that I have. What I like about it is that we have a lot of studies going on, a variety of treatments we can look at. Over the years, we've looked at a number of physical therapies, such as ultrasound, cold plasma, electrical stimulation, as well as topical gels, ointments, and different dressings and grafts. So it's nice to have a variety of things to look at. And it's nice to see some of these studies that, you know, we've done early on from our preclinical work actually get translated into the clinic. So we did a lot of the initial studies for like Duoderm dressing, Aquacel AG, Purify, Prontazan, Curlex AMD, Iodoflex, Purisen, a liquid bandage. I mean, we've done a variety of products in our preclinical models that it's kind of exciting to see them move forward into the clinic. But I must say, as much as we like to see the positive results, you know, a lot of the studies we do aren't so effective. You know, some of the products, and we always tell companies, it's like, you know, you can't always hit a home run at the beginning, you know, and what you need to do is negative results can be as good as positive results, because what you may need to do is increase the concentration, because a lot of these studies have been done in vitro and they may not work in an in vivo setting. So you may need to switch the concentrations that you're looking at. You may need to, delivery is key. I mean, there's a lot of different vehicles and delivery systems out there, and such as, like, we've looked at antimicrobial peptides and found them not to be so effective. And it's mostly due to the delivery systems of some of these treatments. So I always tell companies it's good to have negative results, because you're going to tweak your formulation and hopefully make it, you know, into a better product that can be used clinically. And another thing that I really enjoy about the work that I do is being able to go to conferences, present the work that we've done, you know, both nationally and international. So that's very exciting for me.
Excellent. So for a new researcher interested in wound care, how would you encourage them to get into the subject area?
Yeah, so fortunately, I've had a lot of really good students over the years. You know, I believe it's important to teach these students how to design an appropriate study, especially, you know, with the positive and negative controls. You got to make sure you have the right controls when doing these studies. And I like to have these students kind of think about things, that are issues out there, like for patients and ways that you can actually go about making their lives better. And for example, we had one medical student, they were in the grocery store and they saw all these antimicrobial bandages out there. And they said, well, you know, are these antimicrobial bandages that are over the counter very effective at treating wounds? And so we did a study in our porcine model where we compared these antimicrobial bandages to topical polysporin and topical neosporin, which are common products that are used over the counter. And what we found was that none of the treatments except for two were effective. The two products that contain neomycin, the triple antibiotic bandages and topical neosporin, were the only ones that we showed a significant reduction in bacterial counts. So it's kind of exciting to see these students get involved. I certainly always encourage them to go and experience you know, basically attending conferences and presenting their work. And that kind of gets them excited about pursuing possible careers in the wound care field.
Excellent. What's the one thing about your career that you didn't expect?
Well, I'm surprised how much I enjoy my job. I've been very lucky. I'm very grateful for my previous mentor, Pat Mertz, who has allowed me through the ranks of academia from a research associate to become a full professor. And, you know, a lot of PIs, you know, they take all the credit for the research. And Pat has always allowed me to be, you know, started out early in my career. I was able to become a primary author and basically it's allowed me to become, you know, a well-funded researcher in the field. So over the years, I think I'm very fortunate to have so many great collaborators, both in academia and industry. And I'm very blessed and thankful. And I didn't expect it was going to be such a good ride in the academic field. So I really enjoy it.
Great. So from the wealth of your knowledge over the past 40 years, where do you see wound research going?
Yeah, so I think there's still a lot to be done. I mean, certainly, stem cell research is kind of, you know, it's been around for a while, but, you know, people are looking at exosomes, new therapies. It's great to, when you have an infected wound, it's great to kill the bacteria, but you got to make sure you're not impeding the wound healing process. So I think there's going to be a more of a focus on combination therapies, because, you know, it's not one treatment that's going to do it all. I mean, we've done many studies, for an example, with a hydrogel dressings. You know, we found hydrogel dressings and a lot of different dressings to be very effective in our acute partial thickness model or deep partial thickness model. And but when we took the same dressings and looked at them in our burn model, we found them not to be so effective, except for hydrogels, which hydrogels were very effective in reducing burn progression due to their cooling effects. So I think it's going to be a need of combination therapies in the future where, you know, you may have to switch therapies once you don't see the wound healing and try something else that will be more effective.
Okay, well, one more question, if I may. And this one's maybe a little bit more left field and only really is at the front of my mind because of a recent podcast I did with a clinician. But obviously, you know, the great buzz around in life is about AI and big data. Do you see that helping or fitting into wound care research?
Yeah, I never actually thought about that. I mean, I think if we're able to develop, you know, intelligent dressings and materials that are able to capture the presence of bacteria and biofilms, and maybe they're able to show, you know, depending upon the illumination of certain things within a wound, I could see a computer being better, because I've tried to, you know, some of these things that you're supposed to be able to see the bacteria in wounds, and I find them very, very difficult to interpret. It's not a quantitative analysis to determine whether these certain scanners or whatever are able to detect certain bacteria, especially since they get down deeper into the wound. So hopefully in the future, we have better technology that can give us a more quantitative idea of where the bacteria are within the wound and how to get those wounds, you know, clean and healing.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all my questions for today. So thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Thank you for highlighting the importance of research within wound care and providing insight as to how others can enter our wound care world and contribute in the future. Well, thanks again, Steve.
Thank you very much, Douglas. Take care now.
Take care. Well, that's our podcast for today. We hope you gain some new perspectives from our wound care world. Be sure to visit the International Wound Journal at www.internationalwoundjournal.com and visit our social media channels. Add your comments and learnings. We want to hear from you. Most importantly, don't forget to read the many articles published in the IWJ, and please consider being an author. We love to receive manuscripts from every corner of our world. Thank you for being part of helping those suffering from wounds. Until next time, be safe and stay healthy.